Saddle up your horses. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Robin Walter Show here, part of Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you today. Continuing in the second week of my plan to broaden some of the stories that we cover. Not that there's not enough to cover just purely and totally in the raw political scene, but I am feeling the sense that I need to be better balanced on some things. And I'm not suggesting that you need to be, but we're going to cover some things. This week I'm going to actually touch on a couple of medical things, but I want to spend a good portion of my time on some particularly good news on the international stage and so forth. So we're just going to get rolling with it, and I'm going to switch things around. I start traditionally with some good news. I get into the mud, then I wash up and clean up before the end of the program and try to finish with good news. I think today I'm just going to get the junk out of the way so we get on to the good news, which is probably the more than half of the program. It's fun to be able to say that. It was just, how many years have I done this program where there really just wasn't good news? The good news shows up on the Sunday morning with Robin Walter. The radio show where I get to preach, which I love to do. And I might add, I have made myself available rarely, but on occasion, to churches that might think that they would want to hear what I'd have to share. It's usually going to come through a listener such as you that would recommend that. But if that's such a case, you can certainly let me know at Red Sky Radio 777@gmail.com. Red Sky Radio 777@gmail.com. Okay, I'm going to start off with a health piece. We're going to move to some kind of rough stuff on the dark side for a bit before we get to the good news. But the first one deals with smoking pot. Yeah, marijuana use, which I understand only from what I read. The concentration and intensity and so forth has only increased, well, has increased substantially over the years. And, for the life of me, I cannot understand why any state has enough stupid people to pass recreational use of pot. Let's just add something else for people to get stoned by. And, nobody is killing somebody with their car because they didn't get stoned, right? There's no girl out there who got pregnant because she didn't get stoned. We don't have domestic disputes because people didn't get stoned. You say the medical use, well, whatever. That was just a foot in the door. To legalize it for what? Recreational use. My home state of Michigan. Foolish, foolish people, as are other states that say, well, what's the harm? You can go drink. Yeah, you can't. Well, how many drugs do you want to introduce into the legal status and get super stupid like the state of Oregon did by passing hard drug legalization, which they are now reversing because they're hospitals are filled with zombies. There's all sorts of apocalyptic results in Oregon dealing with the legalization of drugs. I say, well, we got the crime rate down. Well, yes, you know what? You could get the crime rate down for murder if you made murder legal. You get the crime rate down for rape if you make rape legal. But the bozo brains to think that the answer to reducing crime is to simply legalize that which was criminal are, I guess I can't say that. Anyway, so the reason I bring this up, and that's not actually the purpose of my bringing up to say that these states are really screwed up that do this. And maybe you're listening to this and you're a recreational pot user. Well, recreational, I mean, how much is, what's that? Once a day, twice a day? Here's the deal. Pot users, absolute fact, from the American College of Cardiology. They're kind of the gurus of all things heart-related. There is a 100% chance, there are 100% increase in your probability of having a heart attack and serious heart problems if you smoke pot. And I'm not talking about once a year, but recreational use isn't once a year. Come on, let's be serious about this. 100% chance of a 100% increase in the probability of having a heart attack or serious heart conditions if you smoke pot. Seriously, is it worth it? That's not where it ends. The study, which is very deep, goes deep and wide, very well supported, shows that if you are a recreational user under the age of 50, so now we're talking about, for some of you, some of us, I don't have children that are 50, they're quite a bit younger than that, but for those of you who have children that are over 50, maybe this doesn't apply quite so much, but under 50, and my children absolutely do not smoke it, I know that much, or use it in any way, shape, or form. For those who use pot on a recreational basis that are under age 50, the likelihood, the probability of heart problems, serious problems, is not 100% higher, which applies across the board for all age groups combined. You ready? 600% higher probability of heart problems for recreational pot users under, and probably medical marijuana. What's the difference? The consumption rate's about the same. Still smoking the same weed, besides the fact that it clearly is not biblical, but that's not this program. But 600%. Seriously, I mean, you talk to somebody that is under age 50 and going in and out of a pot. You know, I feel like doing this. It's just coming to my mind. Hand them a little flyer that shows them that there's a 600% chance, 600% increase in the probability of serious heart problems. Six times more likely to have heart problems if you smoke weed. Now, that won't matter to some because at some age, you're immortal, right? I mean, who didn't think that they weren't immortal at age 18? I thought I was immortal when I could get down on my motorcycle at 20 years old at night flying across the countryside at 80, 90, 100 miles an hour on my Triumph 500. With bug splat all over my shield, June bugs that are about the size of sparrows, not concerned the least about hitting roadkill, raccoon, possum, deer, you name it, West Michigan, summer nights, they're all over the place. Any one of those things which would have killed me, but God had his hand on me. Probably had to assign a second angel. He said, oh, this guy is going to require 24/7 coverage. He's going to get saved. He's going to give his heart to me. But in the meantime, he's so stupid, he's out trying to kill himself. Not trying to, but he thinks he's immortal. And I guess apparently I did. And God saved me. Thank you, Lord. So anyway, there you go. I think I'm just thinking, as I'm doing this, what a great little flyer this would be to just go stand out in front of some pot retail place and start handing out these flyers about how they're zombieing their brains. But not just that, because that's a fact. People who smoke pot regularly do not have the cognitive skills. It's sort of like dumb on purpose, stuck on stupid. But in addition to that, they're just heightening significantly the chances of an early trip to the netherworld. Okay. Chuck E. Cheese Schumer admits the other day that the Democrats are spending money to send protesters to Republican districts to hassle people, Republicans at the town hall meetings, of which those protesters aren't even in that area. They're just on an assignment from hell from Chuck E. Cheese, Schumer, and the other Democrats. Is this news? No. All of us know that these people that are doing this are just part of a coordinated event. They cannot. The Trump derangement syndrome people will justify anything and everything to take Trump down. And if they can't do it directly, they'll try to take him down one by one as far as reps. So go in the 2022 election. There's not a Republican majority in the House anymore. They're doing everything they can. Extortion, lies, intimidation, death threats. Lately, all the death threats I seem to hear seem to be coming from trannies. They're after straight people. But they're screwed up. We know that they're screwed up. And, well, it is what it is. Okay. This one from Shrinkville. The American Psychological Association. Now, I have to tell you, when I think of shrinks, sorry, you think, well, that's derogatory. And you know what? You're right. I don't have much use for them. Psychologists, psychiatrists, I'm going to tell you, if you're seeing one, why you may want to think twice, or three times if twice doesn't do it, about getting to the right person, maybe getting to a pastor, getting to somebody who has a real answer for the problems. I'll share some numbers that may blow you away. It didn't blow me away, but I had to look them up. And I'll get to it in a minute. But the American Psychological Association, well, actually, they're the ones who need shrinks. There's 173,000 that belong to the American Psychological Association in the United States. 173,000. But it has been revealed, exposed by an organization called Do No Harm, which has vetted this completely, that the American Psychological Association, I'll just call it the APA, is just rife with Jew haters. The anti-Semitic hate that exists in this organization, that's why I said, these are the shrinks who need shrinks. Honey, I shrunk the American Psychological Association. Okay. Anyway, they've had billboards with this anti-Semitic hate on it. They've got a mobile billboard they run around Washington, D.C. that says, kudos to Hamas. Kudos to Hamas. Intifada. Intifada is another one. This is the uprising against anybody and anything that supports Judaism or Jews in general or the nation of Israel specifically. This coming from the shrinkinistas inside the American Psychological, 173,000 of these people. So they got an internal message board which reads these kinds of things. And then you've got the president, Laura Shehi, S-H-E-E-H-I, who was exposed for calling Israelis genocidal effers. I can't say the F word. I'm not going to. This is what she's calling them publicly. Who have a settler psychosis. My goodness sakes. So the Do No Harm group's display, it came shortly after a letter sent to the APA president, who now is Deborah Kawahara, and 15 board members signed by over 3,500 mental health professionals that accuse the association of following virulent anti-Semitism and have allowed it to flourish. So out of the 173,000, apparently we got 3,500, or 2%. 2% of the entire organization has the guts and the morals to push back against this anti-Semitic speech, which has become a defining characteristic of the APA. In the letter, they said that was published by an Israeli news outlet called Net. Y-N-E-T. I do not know how to pronounce it. It sounds kind of like the Soviet version of no, right? Net, net, or something like that. That net, I think, means no in Russian. But anyway, net, 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 maybe that's it. Y-N-E-T. I don't know. They highlighted this, that these documents are the statements made by Shehi that claimed that Jewish APA members have been harassed, excluded, and silenced, end quote, when objecting to the anti-Semitic speech of the organization to which they belong. Quoting here, it also complained that the association had invited speakers with anti-Semitic backgrounds who presented Holocaust distortions and have attempted to justify the October 7th, 2023 massacre of Israeli civilians by Hamas. Well, a couple things here of note. It's interesting that the left keeps calling Musk a Nazi. But the Nazis apparently are all lodged with inside the APA. They're the Jew haters. Isn't that the real definition of a Nazi, is a Jew hater? That's not Donald Trump. It's not I. Probably not 95% of the people listening to this program. So tell me, a left-wing loony who paints a swastika on Elon Musk's Tesla or Cybertruck or which one of those vehicles, they're supposed to be the anti-fascists, but they're the ones going around and painting swastikas on innocent people's vehicles. I mean, since whenever in Germany, and I mentioned this last week, but it bears repeating, whenever in Germany did people that were opposed to the Nazis, the true and only real anti-fascists, the ones that were opposed to the Nazis, when did they go around spray painting the swastika all over the place? So, well, the answer is never. Okay, so here is my little bit of research that I alluded to earlier in this discussion. You got 173,000 shrinks in the APA. It looks like about 2% of them have their head and heart in the right place. The other 98 are goners. But I decided, you know what? I wonder if there are any statistics anywhere that shows how these people vote. Right? Inquiring minds want to know. I'm one of them. I looked it up. Okay, whether they belong to the American Psychological Association or not. Psychoanalysts, psychiatrists, and what's the other psycho? I don't know. There's so many psycho words. But psychoanalysts, psychologists, psychiatrists. There we go. Those are the three I was trying to think of. Who don't necessarily have to belong to this association, but they were polled, found out that 62% of them vote Democrat. I think, well, gosh, there's 38% Republicans in the APA. No. 7% are Republicans. 62% are Democrats. 23% are independents, and independents usually vote for Democrats. That is an historical fact. Democrats and independents invariably, virtually every independent in Congress caucuses with the Democrats. But if you take out the independents, just look at their audience, it's 62% Democrat, 7% Republican. So if you're seeing one of these guys, or you know somebody, why would you take the advice and the input from somebody who's bonkers in their own brain to help you fix your brain. You see, I wouldn't go to a Democrat for financial advice. If they're screwed up on abortion, tranny this, immigration, gun control, what clue do I have that they even have a clue of what they're talking about for giving me financial advice? Isn't the reprobate mind in total, isn't that a reprobate mind is reprobate in its entirety, not just as to always reprobate when it comes to tranny stuff, but after that, he's really on there. No, the reprobate mind is reprobate in all things. And this association is a goner. Well, somewhat of an allusion, or not allusion, a reference to the swastika and the burning of Teslas and Cybertrucks and stuff like that. I was glad to see that Pam Bondi came out here the other day, the Attorney General. I like this gal. She's tough. Is she perfect? No, of course not. But she's tough. Right now, that's kind of what we need. But she announced that they're going to bring charges against individuals that are burning all these Teslas because she considers it. This was an eye-opener to me. Not my original thought. She said this is domestic terrorism. People who burn the cars or support the burning of private property because they don't like somebody's political views, they're a domestic terrorist. And indeed they are. So the fact that she talked about bringing charges against them is really, really a good deal. I mean, I'm thrilled to hear that. So, anyway, that's my my launch into the better news portion of this program as we continue on with a piece I've called "Now We're Finally Getting Somewhere." And this deals with what really, truly is necessary for a country to change. And that is that the people, not the leaders, the people have to desire change at a level in number and intensity to bring change about. So there's a lot of places in the world where that opportunity does not exist. People end up in the hoosegow for life or lose. They wrote something that their local Gestapo didn't like, then they lose their hand that they wrote it with. And it just goes on down the line. Dictators are from hell because no dictator has ever, I don't know if a dictator's ever been Christian. Now, because that's not how Christians function. No, there could be a king. It could be somebody like King David, good king. I wouldn't mind a monarchy as long as you had a good, solid Christian leader. But that's the problem with monarchies. As soon as a good one goes, you got one that now is just hell on earth. That's why we have the separation of powers. That's why we have checks and balances. It's why we have three branches of government. Until recently, the judiciary has risen up and concluded that it's the grand poobah of the three branches. They are designed to keep a check on each other so that none of them get out of hand and assume a dictatorial role, be that by one individual or a small group of people. So what is this? Why is this a good news story? Because how are we getting somewhere? Well, where we're getting somewhere is in Gaza. This is just amazing. I'm going to quote from this piece from Breitbart that said hundreds of Gazans. I'm saying, you know, I've always called them Gazanians. I guess it is Gazans, but personally, I kind of like Gazanian better, though it rhymes with Lithuanian, and my Lithuanian friends and my Armenian friends might take issue with calling them Gazanians because it sounds too much like Lithuanian and Armenian. Okay, knock it off, Rob. Hundreds of Gazanians marched through the northern town of Beit Lahia, carrying white flags and chanting, you ready? You're sitting down? Anti-Hamas slogans. This, according to videos posted from the scene, which show the participants are calling for three things. One, peace. Number two, which is interesting, press coverage. And three, the release of the hostages. I mean, this is rare. I mean, this is a Halley Comet frequency that you would have a popular public uprising in Gaza. Going on here, it says the footage is shared on social media this past Tuesday captured a crowd of protesters demanding an end to what they called, quote, tyrant rule, with chants of, and you got to like this, out, 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 Hamas, out, and we want to live. That's what's going through the streets. Protesters waving white flags, and they held signs reading, stop the war. And another one, quote, we refuse to be the ones who die. And as they marched in what was dubbed as the Intifada of the North. You see, this is interesting. The Intifada has always been an uprising. That's really all it means, but it has become almost singularly adapted to an uprising of Palestinians against Jews, or maybe Americans, but primarily Jews. But now this is an Intifada. This is an uprising of Palestinians against Hamas, again, of some Palestinians against other Palestinians. I'll meet your Intifada and raise you one. Same to you and more of it, Hamas. We're going to do our own Intifada now. One of the speakers here said, we are a people of peace. We demand a secure peace for this town. And we will be the ones who decide who is in control. Oh my gosh. You got to love this. Now, one of the reasons I'm sharing this with you, and I'm not done with this piece, is because you're going to find, you're going to be able to connect some dots through this and the next couple stories after it. Because this is the impact that a Donald Trump administration is having. We've talked about this before and all the impact in different places on companies coming back to the country, getting rid of DEI programs. The impact was, it started before he was ever inaugurated, but it continues in ways people don't even realize. If Joey No Brains Corn Pop Biden were president, or Cammy Laugh Like a Drunk Hyena Harris were president, do you think there would be this uprising in Gaza demanding that Hamas get out, when in fact those bastards of the previous administration were in effect supporting them directly or indirectly through grants to the UN, which were coming back to support Hamas? Of course not. This is a Donald Trump consequence. There ain't any question about it. In fact, according to this video commentator, demonstrators have also urged the media to report on the event. One party said, where's the press? They were shouting, alleging that journalists had retreated into the hospital rather than document the scene. Another protester said the people were demanding freedom and the release of hostages to end the suffering in Gaza. Hamas must stop what is happening. We reject the rule of Hamas. And I'm not actually quite done. I will put the exclamation mark on this piece when we return. We'll be right back.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
I was chasing sun on 101 somewhere around Ventura. I lost a universal joint and I had to use my finger. This tall lady stopped and asked if I had plans for dinner. Said, no thanks, ma'am. Back home, we like the girls that sing soprano. 'Cause where I come from, it's cornbread and chicken. Where I come from, a lot of front porch sitting. Where I come from, trying to make a living and working hard.
Oh, we are back. I had to play that song. First, I love it. I love the guts that Alan Jackson has to sing the lyrics that he did. He was on that 100-year anniversary, Opry anniversary this past week. I felt badly. He had a hard time hanging on to his notes a little bit. He had a lot of backup because he has this degenerative condition that was inherited from his father. Doesn't have to control. He's only in his, mid-60s, and he had to be helped off the stage. I felt terrible, but, boy, God bless him for the guts to get up there and do what he could do. And I love that song, and I played it in part because a couple days ago I was in Ventura, California, and I thought of that, chasing the sun on the 101 somewhere around Ventura. I don't know how you can fix a universal joint with your finger. I never did understand that line. But back to Hamas out. The Palestinians launched this uprising in Gaza. And it's interesting that they also showed some video here that the uprisings are now starting to pop up in southern Gaza. This has never been allowed. If you spoke anything against Hamas, you just got shot. You got killed. You got your house burned. You got something, because these guys are monsters. These guys are animals. They're from the pit of hell. And yeah, I've been fully supportive of just blowing the brains out of all of Gaza. And maybe that, but this gives me some light and life into thinking that maybe this is how it begins. Sort of like the downfall of the Soviet Union. It had to start with some protests that got out of hand, and the fact is the press was covering those. But isn't it interesting here? Doesn't this tell you something, that the press has refused to cover these uprisings by people who want Hamas gone? They probably would love to have Trump come in and turn it into the Riviera of the Eastern Mediterranean. Maybe not. But what does that tell you about media? We just got another huge pack of weenies that don't have the guts to report on something that either A, they don't support themselves, they don't want to cover it, or, you know, they're concerned about being shot in the tush by Hamas themselves. Whatever it is, they don't have the guts, and or they don't have the morals. But one last comment here. I feel like God gave me this. You can be the judge. You have all the pro-Hamas demonstrators at Columbia University, the other universities, almost all of the universities. The demonstrations, which don't have any college students, but they've got others that have attracted pro-Hamas, and the leftist losers that we have in our Congress. So they're demonstrating in support of Hamas, and in a broader sense, two things: Hamas in particular, but Palestinians in general. The assumption has been that all Palestinians support Hamas. So what do these brain-dead protesters do now that they're starting to realize that not all Palestinians support Hamas? So if not all Palestinians support Hamas, And these protesters are, generally speaking, supporting Palestinians. And you have Palestinians rising up against Hamas. Doesn't that mean that the pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian supporters in the United States should now be anti-Hamas? How can they be supporting their brothers and sisters, so to speak, which are growing in number in Gaza, to get rid of Hamas? How can you be pro-Palestinian when the people these idiots support are not even supported by their own people, other Palestinians? Interesting situation, right? Interesting coinkydink we have here. I want to oppose these people, but these people I'm opposing. Wait a second. No, I can't even do this anymore. The Palestinians, who I have been supporting, are now against the people that I've been supporting, the Hamas. So where does that leave me? Well, I'll tell you where it leaves you, right where you started out. Dumb, stupid, and on the wrong side of history. Because you're not going to upend Israel. No, no, no. That nation is here to stay. And I got more on them in a minute, which I can hardly wait to get to. But another good story. So Breitbart has just nailed it this week. Some great pieces. And I consult a lot of sources to come up with the stories because I also want to vet them. I don't want to just take one story and run with it. I like to have it a bit confirmed. But the president of World Athletics by the name of Seb Coe, C-O-E, is introducing what they are calling non-invasive pre-clearance tests for alleged female athletes. I mean, all arising out of the disputes with men participating in women's sports. He said here the tests are going to include check swabs or dry blood tests. They'll only be used once in an athlete's career. He said, but it is important, I'm quoting now, it is important to do it because it maintains everything that we have been talking about. I mean, like in the last 2 months, I'm interjecting that. Everything we're talking about, and particularly recently, about not just talking about the integrity of women's sport, but guaranteeing it. We feel this is a really important way of providing confidence and maintaining that absolute focus on the integrity of competition. We will doggedly protect the female category and will do whatever is necessary to do it. Wow. Now I got to bring up something. Where was this conversation before Trump got elected? Where was this conversation even before he gave the joint address, two or three weeks ago to Congress? Nowhereville, man. They didn't have the guts to speak up. This is what I'm talking about, this continuing impact of Trump's administration and presence in the world. What he says has legs, and it's running to places like the World Athletic Organization. Who hasn't sung this tune? And now they're saying, well, this is what we've been talking about. And particularly recently, well, yeah, like since since Trump's election, particularly since his inauguration, and especially since his joint address to Congress, they're trying to get on the bandstand here like they've been for what is morally right all along. There have been laggards and draggards up until now. But they are getting around to doing what's right. Again, we will doggedly protect the female category and will do whatever is necessary to do it. And we have Donald Trump to thank for this kind of impact when he gets up and gives an address. Say, look, there's only two genders, male and female. We're not going to allow this crapola of guys playing in girls' sports. So this is what they did. The World Athletic Organization female category, it currently excludes anyone, quote, who has undergone male puberty based on research that says trans women retain a significant physical advantage even after undergoing testosterone suppression therapy. Okay, that was their first position, but they've doubled down. They said, oh, gosh, here we go. There now is evidence which shows that there is already an athletically significant performance gap before the onset of puberty. And so they're looking to strengthen the rules in this area. And Coe says that this move is motivated by the desire to ensure that our guidelines keep up with the latest information available to maintain a fair and level playing field in the female category. The latest information? The latest information, Mr. Coe, came from the book of Genesis. God created male and female. And I can tell you that watching a grandson who's just turned 8 in his flag football, there are girls in there. I have seen one girl who was not a football embarrassment. She's not there. Mentally, physically, speed, nothing. There was one. And I remember in seventh grade, two people beat me in seventh grade race were girls. But that didn't last. That did not last. But what they are saying here is the latest information now reveals that girls and boys are different. Even before puberty, they're different. I'm amazed how fast my 8-year-old grandson is, how much he can lift. He says, Papa, let me show you my abs. You got the 6-pack abs? He said, no, I got 8-pack abs. And he pulls them up. Girls don't do that. I don't want girls to do that. I want girls to be girls. But these people are coming on here like this is just this new discovery. My gosh, they are different. Excuse me. Everything that we have been observing for thousands of years is correct. Well, Trump's effect doesn't end there. Coe went on to say, though, quote, overwhelmingly, the view has come back that this is absolutely the way to go, within the caveats raised for testing being too intrusive. And our testing will stand up to legal challenges. My goodness, this is World Athletic Organization said, we're going to go back to the way it used to be, the way it always really has been. What on earth were we thinking? And we have it now so that we are able to defend and win against any legal challenges by these tranny zombies. He said, quote, I would never have set off down this path to protect the female category in sport if I'd been anything other than prepared to take that challenge head on. We've been to court of arbitration. They have been upheld, the decisions. We have won, and we've won on appeal. Now, one more thing I got to add to this. The International Olympic Committee, President Christy Coventry, said that she now that Trump has been elected, now that Trump has been inaugurated, now that he gave his joint speech to Congress and all of his executive orders, now the International Olympic Committee supports a total and complete ban on trans athletes participating in women's sports. She said, I want to ensure that front and foremost, we protect the female category. I don't believe that transgender female athletes should be competing at the Olympic Games in female categories. Well, that's wowsing. She got a pair of cojones, didn't she? All of a sudden, when the tide of opinion is against her. Okay, picking up from there, another impact of Trump being in office, the emboldening of somebody who was already pretty bold. But now that he's got a friend, a co-laborer in the White House, the Prime Minister of Hungary, a country I love, Viktor Orban, the government signed legislation, and he signed the bill, that bans, you ready, queer pride parades. They're now illegal in Hungary. And why? He said, to protect children. said here, quote, in Hungary, a child's right to a healthy physical, mental, intellectual, and moral development comes first. We are not going to let woke ideology endanger our kids. No more LGBTQRSTUVWXYZQQIIAA++, all that crap, all the queer pride parades. No other similar demonstrations in Hungary, like drag queen shows. This is all part of what they're saying is the broader effort to protect our children from lewd content and far-left gender ideology. What he's saying, there is not one of these demonstrations or prides that isn't lewd. It was like a Home Depot float that was in the San Diego Queer Pride Parade a few years back. And what the slogan say on it? Rent a boy. I'm not kidding you. It was Home Depot that supported, that sponsored the parade. I don't know if it was on their float. They got a rent a boy. It's debauched. It's from the pit of hell. They said that pride, quote, pride and child protection are not compatible. Everyone, this is amazing. Get your visas to Hungary. Maybe get dual citizenship. Adding that everyone who has watched only a few photos or clips of videos from pride parades knows that pride and child protection is not compatible. And of course, the leftist weenies are up in arms because they say the bill is really bad. And how do leftists protest? Well, because they have no brains or morals, they resort to violence, just like here in the U.S. What do? They set smoke bombs in the Hungarian parliament, which, of course, has health concerns associated with it, and the toxic odors and everything. And the leader of Orban's party, the Fidesz party, F-I-D-E-S-Z, party, by Mate Kosis, said, quote, it is quite obvious what this game is about, and this pro-pride arson and smoke bombs is only the precursor of what foreign financiers are preparing for. So what are you saying? This is paid crap. I mean, George Soros is a Hungarian Jew. He's probably funding this. Interestingly, the spokesman for Orban's party says, it's interesting that they never protested or came out against a war or against illegal immigration with the militant means that they have come out now against this legislation. So the leftist loonies are leftist loonies everywhere because they're morally deranged, and the debauchery. Hungary is not putting up with this crap at all. They've also stopped all immigration. Hungary is a European leader for what Trump is trying to do at our southern border. Stop the illegal immigration. Now, to a story I really, really wanted to get to. We're going to end on a strong note. I love the nation of Israel. As you well know, don't mess with these guys. God's hand here is obvious. We know about the Iron Dome missile defense system, which has protected them from all of these missiles coming in and rockets, thousands of them, from Gaza, from Hezbollah, all functioning as surrogates for Iran. But they announced here, the Ministry of Defense has announced a significant leap in the performance of the Iron Dome defense. I mean, it already is almost flawless. But they have, they've upped the ante here. They said, we have tests that have proved its ability to counter evolving regional threats has been a significantly advanced and leap forward for our own defenses. It's a comprehensive series of interception tests for the Iron Dome defense system, and we've evaluated its response to advanced aerial threats such as rockets, cruise missiles, and drones. So Rafael Advanced Defense Systems is the contractor for this. And they just say this is such a critical component in intercepting the incoming from all the people that hate Israel, which basically is every country that surrounds them. Now, this upgraded Iron Dome system works side by side with two other components of Israel's defense called the Arrow and David's Sling. Sounds like a catapult, doesn't it? Well, it's something, I guess it's a 21st catapult, whatever that looks like. I don't really even know. But have they stopped with these significant heightened advancements in their Iron Dome? No. They are now almost online and will be by the end of the year with the latest defense system called the Iron Beam. The Iron Beam. They got the Iron Dome, the Iron Beam. The Iron Beam is a laser defense system. It doesn't require intercepting rockets. It's a laser defense system, quoting here, is set to become operational by the end of 2025, according to Defense Minister Israel Katz, who highlighted its role in enhancing national security and deterring future threats. So, this Iron Beam is a really ridiculously high-powered laser, ground-based system, and it's designed to intercept short to mid-range missiles, rockets, cruise missiles, drones, you name it. And so this cutting-edge laser defense, which was only concept a few years ago, will be reality in just a couple of months. Gosh, how God has blessed the Jewish nation. It's amazing. He said it's not designed to replace the Iron Dome. It's a complement to Iron Dome. And he said, I should add, that it's a very cost-effective defense solution. I thought, wow, what's this about? Well, every Iron Dome missile costs, I think, somewhere between $20,000 and $30,000. It's tens of thousands of dollars for every missile. I think, actually, you know what? I think I'm low on that. It's higher than that. But the laser technology will cost Israel for each laser shot $2. You heard me right. $2 is all it's going to cost Israel to laser an incoming rocket or jet or whatever they need to right out of the sky and blow them to kingdom come with a $2 laser beam. Compared to the tens of thousands per Iron Dome interceptors. This is just, I said to my wife earlier today, you know, I want to go to heaven, but there are some things, with all the garbage that's going on, there are a few things I kind of want to see. I want to live long enough to see. And the advanced Iron Dome and this Iron Beam, I'd love to see this laser shot. Gosh, it's right out of Star Wars. Blowing these whatevers out of the sky, coming from all directions. And you know, as time marches on and the nations of the world come against Israel, which is very clear in Zechariah and Revelation and in Scripture, this kind of technology is going to be critical. Hal Lindsey was way off, but he was also 50 years ago, how things are going to look. And I don't know that this is the end game, but it certainly is a step up like you can imagine. And you know what? I'm not even done with it. This one, this is so cool. It makes me twisting around here in my chair. Beyond the ground-based defenses, Israel has plans to deploy their laser systems on aircraft. Isn't that something? So they go up in the sky, wherever they are, over their own country or some other country, and they got laser beam. Man, maybe you don't need the rockets. Forget the rockets and all that extra weight. You're all lasered up. You're not lathered up. You're lasered up. And you go start taking out enemy bombers, rockets, and planes wherever you are flying with these lasers. I got to tell you, I think it's really cool. And I do not move off from the fact that I give God all the praise and glory for giving this to the nation of Israel. And I have only one prayer request, Heavenly Father, and that is do not let Israel share this technology with anyone. Hey, God bless you. Remember, sit tall in the saddle because you ride for the brand. And whose brand is that? It's the brand of Jesus Christ. We'll see you next week.